doing commercials because I'm going live. But I can't find if the game is on.
This is what the Rockies have been waiting for. Sports on FM.
Can you imagine?
Hey, Johnny, 44-year Johnny, it's Monday night. We skipped Thursday night because I was in the Bay Area freezing my noggins off because it was 58 degrees and the breeze off the ocean. Got a little chilly in the shorts. So, yeah, so California at this time is worse than when Colorado was 18 degrees a few days and came back to this icy, crappy weather. But it's football on a Monday night, and what's better than one game? That's right, two games, and we have a close contest at the tail end of one game that's closed out, and in the other game in which my son, born in Tennessee, is saying, go, 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 Titans, with 2 minutes to go, and we're driving, we're watching it live. You're going to hear it on mute right now, but if you have some feedback, it's because the game is going on, and we're vested in the Titans and the win. Johnny, my man, we had a week off from official CHSA-sanctioned sports with the championships that we broke down and talked about last Monday. Obviously, we skipped Thursday, hell of a game on Thursday, and Thursday night football. We had the bowl games, a lot of action going on with the bowl games. Teams excited, not excited. But what a great day it was to come home early on the red eye Saturday to be a Trailblazer field in Jeffco to watch East versus West and some under-recruited guys that are probably going to go next level with a little help of Cooper Lloyd and Matt Lloyd, both former player coach at Ralston Valley, now at Frederick coaching. Great game, excellent excitement. We had a lot of college coaches there, so it was fun. F-U-N, 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 fun, fun, fun. And that's going to lead us to some news that we're going to have here in a little bit, Johnny. We got a special event beyond recruiting Colorado at Mullen. We had to slide the time back. It's not going to be that time slot of 4 to 7. It's sliding 6:30 to 9:30. But as soon as we get one of our guests on the line, we're going to break that down and that event. And everyone's been hounding the phones trying to figure out what it is. It's a $500 value. You will know what it is once we break the news, and we're gonna go live with the person that's making it happen, spending a few gonzo dollars that I don't have in order to get this event to go free. Gonna drop one tweet and one Facebook today and tomorrow and cut it off around 3 o'clock on Wednesday. You either get in or not. I'm not gonna go crazy on this one like past events. You either show up and fill out the form in advance, or you don't show up at all, and it's gonna be well worth your time. So Johnny, without further ado, I missed you over the week. I froze my noggins off in San Francisco. I didn't leave my heart there, but I left a couple of sacks there, that's for sure. So anyway, great game going on. Minute 53 in the fourth quarter of the Monday night Tennessee Dolphins game. Titans down by 6, and it looks like each team – nope, only the Titans have one timeout, so we'll see how that progresses. What you got for me tonight, my man? It's action-packed. I'm excited. I'm on fire. This is going to be the best show of the year, and it's December, and it's football season.
Yeah, you're in fuego, no doubt. You might be higher than the firecrackers on the 4th of July or hotter than tamales and hotter than anything tonight, my friend. I'm glad you had a great time in San Francisco. I'm glad you and Zach got back home safe, and we're going to have an outstanding program tonight. A little bit later on, Gonzo and I are going to be talking about the proposal for the Football League alignment for high school for the 2024 and 2025 seasons. Some big surprises according to the new alignment that CHSA wants to put together the next couple of years. Gonzo and I are going to talk about that later on tonight in the program. But as Gonzo watches the finish of Miami and Tennessee in the fourth quarter, what an opening game tonight in Monday Night Football. Seesaw battle, emotional, all kinds of people making plays, and it came down to a stretch where the young Giants quarterback, Tommy DeVito, made a big 35-yard pass to Wandale Robinson on the last drive of the game, set them up with a couple of Saquon Barkley runs, and then right at the end at the buzzer, Randy Bullock drilled a 34-yard field goal to give the Giants a 24-22 win tonight over the Green Bay Packers. And all of a sudden, the Giants, we all thought were dead and gone 3 weeks ago. Well, lo and behold, look who's come up rising from the ashes. And now the Giants are back into the playoff picture at 5-8 with that win over Green Bay tonight. Packers fall to 6-7. The young quarterback, Tommy DeVito, continuing that Cinderella story. 17 out of 28 tonight, 158 yards, a touchdown and an interception. And he ran the ball extremely well as well. Barkley had some moments in the game. He almost suffered a game-ending fumble on a big long run where he was not touched. Green Bay was able to recover it, and then they scored on the touchdown pass. But the Giants were able to come through in the last minute and a half. Big, big win for the Giants. And a lot of credit tonight for the Giants in that win goes to their rookie defensive back, Deontay Banks, who broke up two possible touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, ended up with 10 tackles, a tackle for a loss, two breakups on passes. He was all over the place tonight. Rookie player getting better and better, and he was a first-round draft choice to the Giants this year. But a tremendous win for the Giants. And now the NFC playoff picture is beyond wilder than Wild Cherry and Play That Funky Music, White Boy. Six teams in the NFC now are 6-7 on the season. The playoff race in the NFC is absolutely through the roof now after that game tonight. And as soon as we have the Miami-Tennessee final, I know Gonzo's going to have that as he and Zach are watching that game as we speak. But I know I'm going to get my broadcast
look,
partners.
Look, right now we had a touchdown, and it's 28-27, fourth quarter, minute 49. Tennessee's kicking off the ball. But we're going live on Twitter because we have a special guest online with us right now. And we're going to patch him in. Mike, Gonzo, and John. John, 44 years in the business. Gonzo here, been rocking the mic for about two decades. And all I got to say is yabba dabba do. So, Mike, why don't you break it down for us, who you are, what you do, and then we'll talk nuts and bolts of Wednesday from 6:30 to 9:30 at JFK Mullen High School at 3601 Lowell Boulevard. So, Mike, you're live, and let's chat.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for having me on the call. I'm with Zybeck Sports. I founded Zybeck Sports about 15 years ago, and we've been manufacturing equipment for testing athletes. Most people know us by the NFL Scouting Combine. If you've ever watched that anytime over the last 14 years or so, and you see all that equipment timing the 40-yard dash, that's made by Zybeck Sports here in Colorado. And really close, the really geeky guy, first guy, first table, that's me every year. I've been timing the 40-yard dash at the NFL for a long time. Doing the big events like that and what we do for all the other major sports is, you know, kind of cool. But our main thing that we do is we provide testing and athletic assessment for high school and younger athletes. And we can show every athlete through the standardized athlete test or the SAT. We've rebranded the combine to become the standardized athlete test. So what we're doing in Mullen on Wednesday is exactly what we've done for over 150,000 athletes now. So we'll be able to show every athlete how they compare by position and by graduation year across the nation. And then we're going to show them what a really good Division I college athlete is in that position. And depending how long you have between now and when you could hopefully dream about playing college ball, we'll show you where you need to get to and how to get there.
Wow, Mike, 14 years. Seems like last year we were chatting. I remember talking to you about ACT and SAT, and I'm glad you trademarked the SAT standard athletic testing, because I was about ready to do it and just, hey, man, just didn't spend the bucks. And it's, like I said, it's nothing. I'm glad you rolled with it. If memory serves me correctly, we've chatted at events, numerous ones. The one out of 525, TJ High School, in which you know, we didn't get the testing done because it rained, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, you got some exposure locally, which was nice. And then lo and behold, we closed down Landau's facility, and some young white kid named Christian McCaffrey goes and runs a few times and and eventually breaks his record that he had here in Colorado on live TV on the and on NFL Combine. And I appreciate your dedication and what you do. And I know there's been several different systems in place, units in place, timing in place. I mean, you know, you're weighing kids now. You're giving the height. So now we don't have to be so ambiguous as, you know, the kid puts on his film that he's 6'4" and 235 pounds, and then Zybek comes rolling in and finds out the kid's 5'11" and, you know, 198.5 or 190, you know, 7/8 or whatever it is. So that's good stuff. Now, I want to let people know that I do this for the kids. I'm going to go ahead and tweet out a little later, X, whatever you call it. I'm not going to be on 20 different social media platforms. But this is an event for the kids, so parents don't have to spend $1,500 going to trips here, there, and everywhere and paying a lot of money for it. But at the meantime, I appreciate what you're doing for me and for the kids, and John's going to be there. And what we're going to do is admission is going to be based on a family legacy of mine, and it's a charity drive for educational supplies, which is not going to happen now. But toy for a boy or a girl and or canned goods. So if you can bring those, one, other, whatever, if you got a gracious wallet, you can Venmo money because we want to feed kids time in need. We talked earlier. We know how it is not only in Colorado but nationwide. There's a struggle. So this is going to be an event that usually costs some decent dollars. That's going to be F-R-E-E, free, free, free. So, Mike, let us know again, you know, for the folks that might have joined in late, what exactly are we going to do Wednesday, 6:30 to 9:30? You know, are we just going to, you know, get a measuring tape out and that's it? Or you got some special tools in place? How are we going to work this?
No, we'll be doing this the exact way we've done, again, 150,000 athletes and pretty much every major event that involves a combine we've been involved with in some form or fashion. For example, the All-American Combine in San Antonio, we've done that for 14 years now, and that's the next big one we're getting ready for. We're going to do it the exact same way. We have our own athlete measuring system, which is pretty much unarguable, and we'll get the athlete's height, the reach height, wingspan, and hand size. Those are the primary athlete attributes that colleges will like to review. And then we'll be doing the 40-yard dash with the 10-yard slit, 20-yard slit, 40-yard time. And we do that for a lot of reasons because some positions, those are different importance for different coaches. We'll also do the short shuttle, the L drill, the broad jump, and the vertical jump. And you don't have to do all those tests, but we'll have all those set up. And, you know, depending on the interest, we'll do them all. And just so everybody knows, we'll share the results with you, Gonzo. You'll have them all. But also the athlete will get their own individual report. And we won't share that outside of the small circle unless we're the athlete or the parent would request that we would do that. But so every report's going to, you know, really show exactly how you compare. And we're in a lot of major colleges. And the reason we have trademarked the standardized athlete test or the SAT, it's totally analogous to the academic SAT. You're not going to be calling up, say, Yale or even CU Boulder and saying, yeah, I got a perfect score on the academic SAT and my dad graded it. That doesn't work. Your dad can't grade your academic SAT, so why do you think you can call up a college coach and say you're 6'3", running a 4.2? Now, if you're a five-star athlete, yeah, you might be able to do that, and they're not going to really care about these numbers. But for all the rest of you, you know, let's just be honest. And college coaches are looking for that, and they need that credibility to even consider you to talk about the next, you know, the next, you know, cut to see what they want to be doing. So That's all it says, is going to be giving the athletes a lot of credibility, show how they stack up with their SAT.
That's beautiful, and this is good stuff, and I don't think people understand how valuable this is. And obviously 14 years, man, that was like a blink of an eye, I can't believe it's been that long, 14 years.
Yeah,
wow.
Long way.
That's truly amazing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think this is, Colorado's fortunate enough to be a fairly wealthy county. I think Douglas County and Arapahoe County are two of the most wealthiest counties, not only in Colorado, but nationwide. So a lot of people making six figures, and they get it. But for the kids that, there's a couple kids that went to Alabama, and the first time they ever had their own room or own bed was because of football. And, that's a great avenue. In my day, it used to be you traded your academics for a scholarship in order to get a good education and move on. Now there's a lot of people hoping and praying to get these D1 scholarships and set themselves for the next future. But sometimes the league says otherwise, and you either don't get drafted or you might, spend 2, 3, 4 years and you're bounced out. And then what do you do with the next 50 years of your life? So the guys with the good GPA are getting it done. But I think, is it possible to see a sub 4.5 Wednesday night based on Colorado numbers, or are we looking
as possible,
truth and reality a little higher?
About a half of 1% odd. The best time we've had at the All-American National Combine in San Antonio, that's kind of a really elite invite only event. I think the best time we had this year was a 4.55, I think. We had one in the four fives. We had like three in the 4.6s, and then it's typical we'll have like 80, maybe 90 in between the 4.8s and the 5.0s. But then every position group was slower than 5 seconds. 5.02 seconds was the average for the running backs at this year's All-American Combine. And the reason this sounds so slow is that we're doing fully automated electronic timing. And, it's going to seem slower than if you're being measured with a stopwatch, but it's real.
Right.
The coach always presses the stopwatch after you start to run. How much after depends on a lot of things. Was the coach out partying last night? Did you all amped up a Red Bull? Amped up a Red Bull, you can get bad time. All partying last night, get a good time. That's crap. That is not the athlete's numbers. So you're going to hear this phrase over and over again. It's on you. Because when you lift your hand up and that sensor's not blocked, you're going to start the time. And when you cross 10-yard, 20-yard, 40, you're stopping the time. The person around the station not doing anything. And if anybody's interested in how this works, if you go to like our Twitter page at Zybex Sports, I recorded a really good video this year at the NFL Scouting Combine. And I show exactly how the timing is done there. You know what we're doing? Same thing you do at the NFL Combine. You look at any of those videos on the NFL Network, and you see that red block at the start line. The athlete puts their hand on that line. They're blocking the sensor. When they lift their hand up, start to run, that's when the time starts. It's that simple. And so you start the time, you stop the time, these are your numbers. It shows where you stack up. That's why that's the other registered trademark we have is the phrase, it's on you. We start every test with that. And it means more than start the test. It means that these are your numbers for where you stack up. And let's face it, Colorado's a pretty good area, but we're not Texas. We're not Florida. We're not those trust fund babies of Southern Cal. And, that's who you're competing with on a nationwide basis. I mean, in Texas, they've been selectively breeding football players for a long time. And they got like really, really big football players there. And, that's what the competition is. But I'm not trying to, I'm just being reality about this. And you got to use every tool you got, get to where you want to be. This is just a tool.
No, I understand. And the thing is just so you know, my daddy was born in Houston. And so we're born and bred Texas football. So we know what it's all about. And shoot, down there, they think they invented the sport. So, I raised a couple of big fellows myself, a little 6'2" and a 6'4" guy, big boys. Competition here wasn't exactly what we thought about, but it is what it is. They did dominate, but at the end of the day, the grades and the GPA in the classroom got them to where they're at. soon to be 23 and 24, so I think we did well. You mentioned some of the drills predicated on yardage. Now, I guarantee you, an offensive lineman is not rumbling and bumbling 40 yards, so I think that 5-10-yard split is key because it's all about the get-offs and how fast you get off. So I think that was huge implement a few years ago. You know, the 20 yards, you know, the 30 yards, the 40 yards. Once again, you know, you've got so much time that elapses between plays to recover that I think a lot of people think it's all about the wide receivers and their 4-2, 4-3, 4-4 speed. And we've seen some good stuff. At the end of the day, it's a must-come, must-see. I appreciate you taking the time tonight to explain everything to us. We will see you Wednesday night at Mullen High School, 3601 South Lowell Boulevard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not begging people to come. You either come because you want to, and you're going to save yourself a few bucks by not having to travel elsewhere. We'll probably do a follow-up with you, Mike. But if you need me at the Combine, I'm there. I'll take care of my accommodations to help you out. Like I said, this is a major task to go through. I'm only one guy, and I'm giving back to the community, and this is my thing. You show up, you better be prepared. I want that paperwork filled out. I want to hand it over to you and say, these are our guys. Boom, boom, boom. We have any hiccups, back to the line, and maybe you get in, maybe you're not. Like I said, I'm not no fuss, no muss here. We're doing it on my time and my standards. You have the standard athletic testing. I have the standard Gonzo mantra, and it is do your job. You do your job. I do mine with seamless. Boom, boom, boom. I'm not going to pay a bunch of people to, you know, hold your hand and sugarcoat it for you. So a great event that's coming up. John, I'm sure you're going to be there. You fly by. Looks like we might get one of my boys, like Big Bill's Pizza, give us some za so we can get some New York-style pizza in the house for us hardworking souls. We're going to set that bad boy up in the green room, which is north of the football fields. Park wherever you want. First come, first serve. Fill out the forms. Pre-qualified. That way Mike makes it a lot easier for him to get his job done. It makes it a lot easier for us to check you in. And all the toys and all the canned goods, if you have supplies, you know, for the teachers or whatever, pencils, pens, whatever, maybe they need to start the semester off on a great start. I appreciate it. We're going to go back to the blog talk. We're going to jump off of Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it these days. Again, I don't have 20 different platforms. I might be signed up on a few. The platform is this week, the 13th of December. Mike from Zybeck Sports, John Mullen, and 303 Gonzo, Gonzo Sports Network. We're going to be hanging out and talking a little bit more football. And we had a great game, Mike, on some guys that didn't play in the championship game, but enough folks that were able to make it Saturday to Trailblazer Field. And some of those guys got 13 of the players got offers at D1AA. So good stuff. When you have a 4.45 weighted GPA or 3.9 or 3.7, you're probably going to get some looks. You're a big fella at 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". You're going to get some more looks. There's some speedsters. So it was good stuff. Now, I know this is a little bit boring for the rest of the show if people want to watch me, but I'm going to wrap it up there. Mike, once again, you need anything from me, just give me a holler tomorrow. Text me. The phone is on 24 hours. I might put it on snooze or do not disturb for 3 or 4 or 5 hours to get some sleep. But once again, thank you, appreciate you, and we will see you Wednesday.
Sounds great. Look forward to it. See you then. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, John, what do you think of that, man? You know, we're doing it right. We're saving the kids $500 in a registration event in Texas locally. I'm the bad guy that doesn't do anything. Got a loud mouth, that's for sure. Unfiltered, right? Say it like it is. Might not get into the Hall of Fame, but am I doing this shit for the Hall of Fame? No. I'm doing it for the kids. I want to see them, you know, successful. I want to see reality. I want to see them paying into Social Security so maybe I can get some of that when I retire. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people that said they were going to do something, didn't. Again, I got to thank the Frederick coaching staff, Cooper Lloyd, who talked to everybody under the sun to get the East versus West game going down at 1 o'clock at Trailblazer. It was a great contest. It really doesn't matter what the scoreboard was because at the end of the day, we were able to introduce people to coaches, and we got those kids looks. They're going to be traveling. There's in-home visits. I mean, some of the coaches that wanted to come on the show tonight aren't because they're doing in-home visits predicated on the game that we had on Saturday. So that was only one game, East versus West. We're going to do another one next year. It's going to be East versus West, North versus South. It's going to be a dandy, and it gives me good reason to stick around and do more stuff. So without further ado, John, let's roll with our normal program. We got the Titans winning. I got my son rejoicing. So I'm going to let you chat while I have a little sip of something, and then I'm going to drop some knowledge on some folks with how to sign up, because you got to fill out the form, and if you fill out the form, you're in. You don't fill it out, see you later. That's all I got to say.
Right on, my friend. And like you just mentioned, it's about young kids, young future players. We got to keep them informed. We want to keep the parents involved so they know what is happening with their young people. It's going to be a unique event at My Last Name on Wednesday, as Gonzo and Mike was just talking about. Should be an outstanding event. Would love to see all the players and parents and people there. Gonzo's going to go all over the information as we continue tonight. But I just want to talk about the weekend fairly quickly in NFL football. Unbelievably wild games, which affected both the AFC and the NFC playoff race. And as you just heard Gonzo say, huge win for Tennessee on the road at Miami tonight. If you're a Dolphin fan, a real bummer of a loss. But on top of that, Tyreek Hill got injured in the middle of that game when he was going down the sidelines, and they got his ankle and leg crunched up and was out for most of that game. His condition now is going to be key, because this was a player that wanted to get the 2,000 yards receiving on the season. Now with this injury, we don't know what's going to happen to Tyreek Hill moving forward, but an absolutely big win for Tennessee tonight out on the road, beating Miami as they did. On Sunday, Tampa Bay, in a mini-upset, beat Atlanta 29-25, if you missed that. Their running back, White, had 102 yards in that game for Tampa. It was a big performance, and Baker threw for 144 yards. In that contest, it was a big win for Tampa Bay on the road, because that gave them the lead in the NFC South division at 6-7. The Bears beat Detroit 28-13, upset of the weekend. Now that sets up an interesting thing for Sunday for the Broncos. What kind of Detroit team is going to be playing against a team now that is red hot on defense? The Bears exposed Detroit a little bit yesterday, and Justin Fields had an outstanding game for Chicago, threw for 223 yards, did not throw an interception. They got some big plays, and they harassed Jared Goff. A humongous win for Chicago at home. And I said this on the program 2 weeks ago. The Bears were going to pull off some upsets late in the season against some of the big boys who are trying to get into the NFC playoffs. Well, lo and behold, round number one was beating Detroit at home yesterday. A big win for Cincinnati, 34-14 over Indianapolis. Big, big performance by Jake Browning, the backup to Burrow. He's out for the season. Browning, another nice game. 275 yards passing, and looked really effective running the offense. Cincinnati really shut down Indianapolis' offense, even though Gardner Minshew threw for 240 yards. The Cincinnati defense shut down the Indianapolis rushing game. That was a key in that contest, so congratulations to Cincinnati on that. And of course, I know another thing that brought a big smile to my broadcast partner's face. How about that effort yesterday by the Jets? They absolutely
J-E-T-S, Jets, yeah, baby. Wilson's back.
That's right, and they did a Wilson's monster back. Job on C.J. Stroud, and they knocked him out in the second half with a concussion. The Jets were all over the Houston offense. Tremendous win yesterday, 30-6. To get them out of the funk a little bit. Damaging loss for Houston in the playoff race. Gonzo and I are going to be talking about the AFC and what's going to be coming up over this last month of the season involving the playoff teams, but can't say enough. Big game and probably the best win of the season for the Jets in smashing Houston 30-6. Another big game in the NFC, which got New Orleans back into the playoff race. They beat up on Carolina yesterday, 28-6. Derek Carr threw for 119 yards, and they played a really effective defense. Carolina has been done for 2 months. They're going to have probably, in all likeliness now, have the number one draft pick in the NFL draft next April. Terrific game in Cleveland yesterday. Back and forth, seesaw, all kinds of stuff. Great defense, great offense, people making plays. Cleveland was able to beat Jacksonville 31-27. Tremendous performance yesterday by Joe Flacco, the ageless wonder. Threw for 311 yards, starting in place of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie from UCLA. Tremendous performance by 38-year-old Joe Flacco in getting them that big win over Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence had a nice game yesterday for them, despite playing on that terrible ankle that he had to play on, but that was a great game in Cleveland yesterday. And another great game in the AFC-NFC matchup. Tremendous battle. And it was an interception return by Wallace in the overtime session, which gave Baltimore a 37-31 win over the L.A. Rams. That game was insane. All kinds of players made plays. It was just a tremendous back-and-forth battle. Cooper Kupp, coming off of that knee injury, probably played his best game for the Rams in 2 years with 8 catches, 115 yards. Matthew Stafford was outstanding, but so was Lamar Jackson, who threw for 316 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and he ran the ball effectively. That was a tremendous game and a big win for Baltimore as they continue to lead that division now. And right now, Baltimore is the number one seed in the AFC. And then they had this game. They must have played baseball or hockey or brought out the whipping sticks, or it was just outstanding defense, or probably some of the worst offense I've probably seen in a decade. But somehow Minnesota pulled out a victory in Las Vegas yesterday, 3-0 on a field goal by Joseph late in that game. That was absolutely craziness. But bad news for Minnesota, Gonzo, in that game. Justin Jefferson, their great receiver, got injured with his leg again after catching two early passes, so that was a damaging loss for them. But a big win for Minnesota as they stay in the playoff race and just about knock out Las Vegas with that victory. And then there was the round number three of a heavyweight boxing fight between Buffalo and Kansas City. 20-17, a huge win for Buffalo on the road. They finally beat Kansas City for the first time in 4 years in a very meaningful game. The ending of that thing was nuts. I had never seen, in the 6 years I've seen this guy play, Patrick Mahomes go off like that. He was beyond. He was Barney the Dinosaur. His face was purple after that ending of that game. Couldn't believe that call. But you know what? The referees actually got a call right. He was on the line of scrimmage. That was the right call to make.
John,
big win for Buffalo, 20-17 yesterday.
I was having coffee this morning, and some of the ladies at the coffee shop spending $7 and complaining about their husbands, hold it for another helpline, were chatting about it, and they really didn't understand what was going on. So being the nice guy that I am, I kind of stepped over and said, hey, ladies, I've been waiting for my traditional coffee, like my women, hot and black. But anyway, went and just said, look, ladies, here's the story. You know, I've coached football for a long time. My son, at age four, he used to watch film with me. So he's you know, basically been studying film for close to 20 years. But that aside, fundamentals 101, man. You got to know where the line of scrimmage is. And you got to know if you're on or off. I mean, that guy was clearly way out. And if you haven't been paying attention to the NFL, I mean, even tonight, you know, there were some questionable calls. But, I had to, you know, get the napkin out and the magic marker and show them exactly what I was talking about. They knew we kind of weren't getting it, so they weren't getting on pen and paper, so to speak. So I had to kind of set up, you know, got one of the ladies up, kind of explained it to her and showed her. And like, ah, oh. I was like, now you can go back to your husband. And say, hey, I learned something today. And, you know, if you're in the neighborhood, again, Gonzo does like the brownies. So, you know, take some brownies or I like the chocolate chip cookies with my milk before we sign off and go to bed. So, you know, at the end of the day, fundamentals 101. And I will flat out tell you that coaching is not all the same. And I learned that early on, and that's why, you know, I was blowing the whistle for a few years. And it just, you know, if you want to learn and choose to learn, you're going to learn the basics early on. And with this recruiting Colorado event that we have coming up on Wednesday, I don't fault the coaches. You got nearly 300 schools. Everybody's parents think they're D1 in the last decade or so, and it's kind of ruined things. And you just need to make sure you're getting it done in the classroom. You know, I saw some film on some kids, and, you know, how the hell am I going to advocate for you? We don't even have a 2.0 GPA, and that was standard, you know, maybe a decade ago. Now it's 2.3, and then you got the transfer portal and a lot of other things going on. But when you don't have some basic fundamentals, and when a coach asks you, hey, are you interested in playing this position? You're like, nah. It's the wrong answer to play, if you want to play at the next level. But as far as that, like I said, I just scratched my head on that. My son has been showing me memes about it, and I think the most hilarious one, you might get a chuckle out of this one, was Andy Reid from Kansas City, and it said, you better like the Canadian Football League. I laugh about that one. So all I got to say is yabba dabba doo, John. You probably didn't see the video, but I'm wearing a Fred Flintstone shirt, just kind of being unique. I was out in the Bay Area and, you know, had to have a little something because every time I was wearing a Colorado shirt, all I could hear was, we love your coach, but they couldn't name one single player on the team. So, yeah, interesting end of the contest. I know you didn't get well-versed on the ending of the Tennessee Titans game, but it was a hell of an ending. And not sure if many people knew this, but we went out to Tennessee in August, and we actually did meet Will Levis. He has, if it's not his sister, it's a relative that actually attends CU. So that might be a guy that you see in the near future, you know, post February 11th, which is the Super Bowl. I'm not going to say that Tennessee is going to the Super Bowl, but if he wants to come out and ski or snowboard or what have you, more than happy to be his host. And then our guy Stonebreaker that is the punter that ended up at CSU and now Tennessee. And boy, what a rough night on special teams. I bet you the special teams is probably the biggest guy rejoicing tonight after that muffed punt and a few other shenanigans that happened. And I will tell you, you know, whether it's special teams being 17% of the game or a third of the game, at the end of the day, you got to catch the damn football. I mean, that thing was worse than a Butterfingers, and it was so slippery, it was insane. Almost as bad as my car ride home from the airport Saturday morning. So a lot of action in the NFL, John. You know, I guess at the end of the day, who really wants to win down the stretch? I knew that there was apathy here in the Denver market, the Colorado market, the Box State, the Rocky Mountain region, because a lot of folks were reticent about the Broncos. Here we go again with Russell Wilson. And so as we update the draft ticker, if it was to have a draft tomorrow, we would see Carolina with Chicago taking a pick, and their 1-12 record was the number one pick. But lo and behold, New England at 3-10, Arizona at 3-10. We kind of knew Arizona was going to be stinky. Washington at 4-9. We'll see where that ends. Chicago at 5-8. Vegas at 5-8. Jets at 5-8. Joke. Hopefully, don't take another quarterback. The Giants at 5-8. Tennessee now at 5-8. The Chargers at 5-8. And Herbert with his hurt finger. What will we see there? The Broncos are going to get a little lucky having to face them. I think we got Atlanta, New Orleans, Seattle, Rams all at 6-7. Denver at 7-6, Houston at 7-6, Buffalo at 7-6. Tiebreaker, you know, just for people wondering. Cincinnati at 7-6, Green Bay, 6-7, hanging on to that wild card spot right now alongside Tampa Bay. Indianapolis, Minnesota, Pittsburgh at 7-6, woes for the Steelers. Rough on Thursday for a few people. And then Cleveland, who ended up giving their pick to Houston at 8-5. Then we got the meat and potatoes of that divisional, which is Kansas City 8-5, Jacksonville 8-5, Detroit 9-4, and I believe Denver, if I'm not mistaken, plays them on Saturday and they might get Detroit on a low week, you know, so there's conceivable that something might pop there. Philly at 10-3, Miami 9-4, Dallas 10-3, San Francisco 10-3, and Baltimore 10-3, and I would have to say that nobody expected Baltimore to be where they were. The Rams past weekend, hell of a game. Had to laugh a little bit, same group of people. Apparently watched the game with the hubby. Didn't really know what the hell was going on, but said, hey, yeah, that number 8 was pretty good. So Denver with 6:15 Saturday game against Detroit on Christmas Eve, New England at home game. So that might be a little frigid at 6:15 on a Sunday. Then you got New Year's Eve versus the Chargers at home, and in a way, January 7th to Vegas. So now, when you look at the final four games for the Broncos, what may have looked like 2 out of 4 victories is now looking like 4 in a row if things click. And then, John, maybe you know this because you're more of a statistician, and I don't listen to the announcers. I just watch the game. But my son mentioned to me, had Cortland Sutton not scored a touchdown in 2 years? Or were they talking about Jerry Jeudy? Because I was just sitting there like, boy, if it was Sutton, no wonder they tried to trade him. That's a lot of money to be given to a guy that doesn't produce.
Well, in actuality, Gonzo, it was neither Sutton or Jeudy. And Jeudy should have gotten his foot down on that touchdown pass. The announcers are saying Russ needed to take the air out of the ball. That pass reminded me of the one that Sutton made in Buffalo, that insane catch right there on the sidelines. Jerry Jeudy did not get both of his feet down. He has got to learn to drag his foot in the end zone when he makes that catch. He has not done that. That's why he has struggled all year. But the guy who hadn't scored a touchdown since November of 21 was Javonte Williams, and lo and behold, he obviously scored the first touchdown of the game. That was a big thing for Javonte Williams. They need to get him into the end zone more before the end of the year. And this coming Saturday's game at Detroit would be another nice opportunity, since Chicago exposed Detroit a little bit yesterday. And I know Lions fans are going to say, oh, what's John talking about? He don't know nothing about football. Well, wrong. You're all wrong, Lions fans. Chicago exposed Detroit yesterday. There's a way that Denver offensively can go and attack Detroit. And then when they're on the goal line, get Williams the football so he can score more touchdowns. But it was Javonte who had a big one yesterday after not scoring one since November of 2021. That was a big win for the Broncos yesterday against the Chargers. They played insane defense. They knocked out Herbert, who got that hand injury, and the backup quarterback Stick got stuck. He was smothered on 6 sacks by 6 different players. The Broncos defense, since that Miami debacle, Gonzo, they have gotten it together. They've got some young guys flying around and making plays. McMillan is one of those guys. Mathis still hasn't played well in the secondary form, but Pat Surtain played well yesterday. Nobody's going after Justin Simmons now because of the way he's been playing. But those linebackers, and specifically Josie Jewell and Singleton, if they can start covering running backs and tight ends, the way they play the run is fantastic. But the way they get beat is they've been beaten by tight ends and running backs. And you know Jared Goff is going to go to those tight ends and the running backs this coming Saturday in Detroit. They're going to be in a bad mood. That game is going to be real physical, to say the least. Big game. And a lot of the announcers that I've heard the last couple of days, Gonzo, including the guys at Channel 9, saying Denver doesn't really have to win this game and still be in it. They have to win those last 3 AFC games to get into the playoffs. But I don't like that thing anyway. You play 4 games left on the schedule. You play to win the football game. You want to get another 5-game win streak going. That's what they got to do if you want to build any momentum if you make the playoffs. Momentum is so huge in any level of football. If you're hot late in the season, you're going to go somewhere and make a run towards the Super Bowl. If you're not, then you're not going to get there. Momentum is huge in football, and if I'm the Broncos, I keep the ball rolling as the way they've been doing. They've won 6 out of 7 since that Miami debacle. They're playing terrific. Now let's see what they do on Saturday in Detroit.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of funny, John, about Detroit, because when I was looking at Detroit and their history, and, you know, we're a little bit older than in most, but it wasn't too long that they were playing Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, Barry Sanders, Billy Sims, you know, some great lineage. And when I was taking some notes, and I'm a good listener, an active listener, but I like to write stuff down because, you know, paper never forgets. But 2,000-yard rushers. And the reason I bring this up is because there was all the hype and everyone jumping on Tariq Hill's jock from Miami about 2K in 17 games. My Lord. You know, I think it's Terrell Owens that owned the record during the normal season. But 8 players as a running back have 2,000 yards in history. Now, Jim Brown, the great Jim Brown, who unfortunately passed away, had 1,863 yards in 1963. And he was in his first 4 years of his career, he only played 12 games, and the last 5 was 14 games. The next guy that played 14 games and hit 2,003 yards was a guy named O.J. Simpson. And it's unfortunate what happened to him post-football career, but if you were a Southern Cal fan, Bills, later 49ers, that was a huge feat, you know, and unfortunately he walked away in 79, and I still have a trading card of him in a 49ers uniform, and he's on the golf course chiseling for autographs now. But when you look at the NFL and you see that there's been 8 guys that have accomplished 2,000 yards, that's amazing. And you look at Derrick Henry tonight, who actually is one of the 8, and another Tennessee player in Charles Johnson, CJ2K. That is a huge feat. So now with the expanded league and the rules and stuff like that, I mean, I would go up to Tariq Hill and be like, hey, man, what happened to your buddy last night from the Chiefs and what happened? But my whole point is statistics really don't mean a whole hell of a lot if you're losing. I wonder if you take a guy like Tom Brady and be like, hey, man, would you rather have the Super Bowl trophies or the statistics? They did a thing on TV, in which I lived that era, in which Peyton Manning, you know, came back instead of going to the draft. So, yeah, I'm a Jets fan, a little pissed off that he didn't go out, and, you know, maybe things would have been different. But the same regards, the Jets are so sideways, they could have had Marino as well, and he did wonders. And I just kind of had to chuckle a little bit seeing him on the TV screen tonight and just kind of wonder if Marino, with all his success, would trade it all in for a trophy. And that's the problem that we have now is everybody's trophy hunting. I know I call out a few people about stacking teams and just, you know, roster management versus coaching. And that was quite evident what you see in the NFL. The players mimic what they see on the TV. So if it's a youth league player at high school or youth high school at college or youth high school college at professional level, Mahomes, you know, a little beside himself, you know, it's probably going to cost him the pocketbook because the last thing these corporate sponsors want is an excuse to get rid of your contract if you're going to be hot-headed. But where I'm going towards this is, you know, it's still troublesome when you're out on the roads and people are cutting you off and road rage and this event that we have coming up. I really need people to bring the toy for the boy or the girl because sometimes this is all they get. You know, or that's a can of food if you want to donate money, what have you. I mean, this is passionate. You know, the fact that my mother always did drives for school supplies for as long as I've been alive, and you really don't know what it means to need money and not be in a position to put food in your mouth or be that guy like my dad who didn't have a pair of shoes until he was 12 years old or didn't know what his next meal was coming at an early age. And these are the struggles that most people don't know. And then relying upon healthcare, you know, whether, you know, they're going to cover something or not. I mean, my personal struggles are fighting with insurance because they won't pay for a tornado from 6-7 months ago. I want to call it high wind and, you know, argue and switch case and stuff like that. And they make it so complicated. So that's why I'm fighting for the common guy, you know, service my fellow mankind. And I know, John, tomorrow, you know, it's a stretch for you to get from the north to the south, but maybe we'll hook up early. I got a bite to eat before the event. And then, you know, chat a little bit more, see where our direction is going. You know, Ralph Simpson, you know, keeps chatting with me about our Roku TV, and it's going to be a good access. But again, at the end of the day, doing this stuff for free, you know, I might be able to do it for a little bit longer. I know you need a few dollars. I know Ralph, you know, retirement from the ABA and MBA is not exactly the most pleasurable, but at the end of the day, we're doing it for the right reasons. You know, we're covering all three sports in football. I mean, it's a massive take when you have nearly 300 teams in Colorado high school football, and I think we do a hell of a job. And I really appreciate you, John, for what you do at the lower levels, because I get so consumed with parents at the 3A, 4A, 5A level. It's insane. But then at the college level, it's like everybody's jumping on Deion Sanders' jock because he's here. And, yeah, he did wonders for the school in the first year. But, you know, they went from 1 win to 4 win, and all the media wants to do is bash him for not winning 6 and being bowl eligible. But, hey, he's had the most excitement in 20 years, but everyone that, you know, is clickbait and charging subscription fees and what have you, all they want to do is bash the guy for something that he's done. I mean, it'd be a hot mess if we didn't have him, and you know, what would we be talking about, Colorado football? And, yeah, you know, embarrassing him by using the word nepotism, so what? Anybody that doesn't realize that number 2 and number 21 – in addition to number 12, are the best three players on the field. It just so happens one's on offense, one's on defense, and the other one plays two ways. So, you know, when we come into 2024 season, it will not surprise me if both Shadur and Travis Hunter are Heisman favorites. And then what do you do? As a coach, you want to root for both, but selfishly, I think Deion's rooting for his son, but either one is a viable option, and it's going to make Colorado football exciting. Are we going to have some Colorado kids sign with CU, CSU, Greeley, you know, Western, you know, whatever? Who knows? But based on some of the feedback I'm getting from some of these forms, it's probably a no. And the reason I say that is because these guys are not filling out the forms properly. So it's insane. It's really insane. And I really don't know what to say when the tools are in front of you and you choose to ignore them.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why, as Gonzo's been talking about tonight during the program, we want to see all these young kids and friends and family of the parents show up at that big event at Mullen High School on Wednesday night there late in the afternoon. And I know one more time before we leave the program tonight, Gonzo's going to explain one more time what you need to do as players and as friends of those players to get to this very important event, because you've got to get educated, you've got to get informed, you're going to get the tools that you need to move forward and make a good decision with your life moving forward. So he's going to talk about that some more before we're done tonight. And I'm glad my broadcast partner brought up the Heisman, because today there was a big story in the Denver Post talking about the 2024 Heisman. But if you missed it or been away from a radio or TV or away otherwise, a stunning upset for this year's winner of the Heisman Trophy. They gave it to Jaden Daniels, the LSU dual option quarterback. And, you know, I was stunned by that. I did not. They gave it to him based on that big 5 games he had late in the season instead of the early games. I always thought when you try and go for a Heisman Trophy, no matter what position you play, offense or defense, it's a season-long progression of making plays and doing things for your team to win. They gave that to Daniels based on his last 5 games. I was kind of disappointed with this because, if you're a sports writer, a broadcaster, and you live west of the Mississippi, you get no love. players get no love because it's all about the East thing and all about the New York thing and all about the Florida thing and all about the Texas thing. And I can go on and on and on about this, but I truly believe in my soul that Michael Penix got a ream job on that, because this guy has led Washington all year, did not have one bad game. They have a chance to win a title here. I don't know where the committee went with that. Very, very disappointed with that. And I thought Marvin Harrison Jr. got a raw deal by finishing fourth. I thought he would finish at least second or third. But that's all a speculation thing. I didn't like that the way they went down. But the story in the paper today, Gonzo, talks about the hype for the 2024 Heisman. They got Jalen Milroe, the Alabama quarterback, in the mix, Beck in the mix, and Dylan Gabriel, who just entered a transfer portal from Oklahoma. He will be transferring to Oregon next year to take over for Bo Nix, who will be in the NFL draft in April. So there was a lot of stuff going on with college football today as far as the Heisman and the key players next year. But the two big things that really got me excited: terrific Army-Navy game on Saturday. Army with a big win there over Navy. But how about this coming weekend? If you got a chance to go on as a fan on a plane trip to McKinney, Texas, or if you're following what's happening in Division II football, what a championship game that's going to be this Saturday in McKinney, Texas, when you got undefeated and top-ranked Colorado School of Mines, led by the great John Matoka and Noah Roper, going up against Harding College of Arkansas, who's big, who's physical, and they play monster defense. That is going to be a humongous championship game this Saturday in Texas. And for the fans in Golden and around the Denver area, you should be excited about this team. Mines has a chance to win their first championship in school history. That's going to be an insane atmosphere in Texas on Saturday, and I'm sure a lot of the Colorado fans are going to be following what the School of Mines can do and they can finish off this championship. But lo and behold, I know it's only Division II. It's not Division I.
Only.
Yeah, but John Matoka, the great quarterback for School of Mines, has the all-time record for most touchdown passes in a career in college at 160. And I know you're going to text Gonzo about this to say, please, Gonzo, get John fired. I understand.
Fired.
It's Division II. It's not Division I. But Matoka is a quality young man, great sense of humor. This guy has put together a monster career. And you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing him play in the new revised USFL next year or in Canada at some position. May not be quarterback, but this guy plays football. Doesn't complain, goes out and practices every week. And he's had a monster career in Golden, Colorado, and this guy does not give no love. Well, guess what? Fans, I'm giving Matoka love. This guy is a great young man, and he and Noah Roper and the rest of those guys have a chance to bring a title back home on Sunday to Golden. Want to wish everybody involved with the Colorado School of Mines good luck in that championship game against the great Harding team this Saturday.
All I got to say is Matoka better not Ashoka. Good stuff for Colorado. I will tell you, whether you take the back roads on the way to Boulder or you just pass by the great, great scenic route, great program. Chuck Donnell had his son there. It was some fun times going to the games with him. Beautiful stadium, nice golf course just up the street. But on that note, John, we have another John that's joining us on the line. And John Marine, we got John Mullen, my co-host, 44 years in the business, been around the block, knows a lot of players, gives us a lot of history and background. Now, I know that you've had success at the youth level, and you have a pretty damn good club team called Team Full Gorilla. And
yeah, they're okay.
I guess they're okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Well, you can be humble. Tell us a little bit about Team Full Gorilla and what it costs to be a member of Team Full Gorilla.
Well, so Team Full Gorilla, I was a coach at your alma mater, Mullen High School, at the time, and it wasn't even a thought in my brain. But then kids from the, you know, school team were coming to me saying, "Coach, you know, all these other local teams are charging thousands of dollars to be on the team, and I really want to play. You know, can you, would you think about putting a team together?" So, and I'm an offensive line coach and a run game coordinator, and we're talking 7-on-7.
Yeah, what's that, right? Uh-oh. Did we lose a big fella? John, are you still with me?
I'm right here.
Okay, got a little bad connection, man. Them gremlins are getting to Mr. John, so let's see if we can get him back on the line. There any? Well, again, what he's referring to is what you might not know, John. Let me see if I can try to call him back, as the gremlins might be getting to us. But what he's referring to is you've got these guys that are vested in a dollar. They don't want to do anything unless they're making money. So you got guys that are charging like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to be on these teams, which is absolutely ludicrous. So, yeah. So, at the end of the day, it's one of those situations where, you've got these guys that think they know everything. They'll do like one tournament and bail. May charge these people for recruiting. It's almost as bad as these position coaches and stuff like that. But, John, we got you back. Did you get off the cricket phone?
Yeah, I don't know if that was me or you guys. I apologize.
Yeah. Maybe we need to upgrade you to 5G. You rocking that flip phone that Compton L gave you?
Yeah, I've got to get rid of this cricket.
you're at Mullen High School. You were at Mullen High School. You had guys that were getting a King's Ransom invoice to go and play some flag football, and you're an offensive line guy, so you're moving, you know, three yards a whack, and you got these guys that are wanting to run nine routes and quarterbacks and want to, you know, let it fly, you know, and what have you. So, okay, so we don't want to pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000.
Oh, yeah, and I called a bunch of my buddies and asked them what they, you know, coaches all from different schools, and they were like, yeah, let's do it, and let's do it for free. And so first year,
free?
We didn't know what it was going to be, you know, and then we did the very first year. There's no cost uniforms, no cost anything. You know, we got a couple sponsors, like uniforms, stuff like that, Full Gorilla Apparel, you know, hence the name Team Full Gorilla. Full Gorilla Apparel helps out with the uniforms. But anyways, we win every tournament we enter. And then all of a sudden, the next year, every kid, and, you know, and we've kept it all the way up until this year. I believe this will be year 7. We've kept it to where it's almost no, you know, so every dollar you put in goes directly to your kid. Every person involved with the program is just giving up their time, donating it just because they love to do it. But we have everybody pitch in a $125 fee, a one-time fee, and that we just started that last year. The first year we did it just because it's getting bigger and more expensive. So that $125 just goes because January through March, we're having to rent indoor almost every weekend. And then the insurance, so that $125 from each kid just goes to cover all those little ancillary costs. But then when we travel, we get it at cost. And, you know, for your trip there, you know, your ride, transportation, food, all three hot meals a day, hotel, tournament entry fee runs between $250 to $400 a kid per tournament, depending on where we're going, you know, depending on how far you're going. And we've never turned a kid away because they didn't have money. Either, you know, the coaches, you know, coaches be like, all right, I'll cover this kid, or you cover this kid, or that we call up sponsor, hey, we got three kids, you know, $250 a pop, can you help out? And they're like, yep, no problem, you know. So we've tried to make it so it's, I mean, and now it's just a straight cost.
So year 7, obviously, track
year
record
7 about
of kids. Year 7, rolling in 24. Any success for players? Are they getting to the next level?
Big time. I mean, you have to obviously do good in the fall. You're not going to get recruited just because of sevens. So what the sevens does, every time we go on the road and hit a tournament, last year I think we hit 6 travel. We stop at every D2, D1, JUCOs that are on the route in between, we always go by bus, so we stop at all the colleges, introducing all the staffs. You know, they fill out all the recruiting stuff at each school we go to. But I think what Sevens does is it gets these college coaches like, well, dang, look at this kid walking in the door. He really is 6'4". Let's go watch him in the fall, you know. And a lot of those college coaches keep up with us all year long. Like, hey, what's up with this kid? What's up with that, you know. So I think it's worked out well.
So I got a question for John. Do the wheels on the bus go round and round?
Most of
the
time.
Do the Wimco wipers go swish, swish, swish?
Yep.
Okay, so we got some players playing a high level. A little fella that played at Heritage, Terrence Ferguson. Break it down for me, man. Is this guy playing in the NFL?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
All right.
There's no doubt in my 100%. Mind. I thought that when he was in high school. I mean, you can talk to his dad. Like, one of our coaches just talked to his dad the other day, and he was even saying, you know, when Terrence first came out, he was a little timid. So, you know, because Terrence isn't this big, loud kid. You know, he came out to the first practice like, holy crap, when he saw the talent out there. And then he was like, his dad will still stay to this day. He said he didn't think Terrence turned into a dog until he played for Full Gorilla. He said that it changed him, his whole mindset of playing against the top kids in the country. He said it really turned him to show how, you know, how good he was and how excellent he was because he was doing it against everybody. His junior year with us, he won tight end of the year for Pylon. And if you look at the list of tight ends, he's gone off every tight end of who's in the country. And he was voted number one and got the big trophy.
So I guess that's a success story, and I'm sure you have a few, and I'm sure you're going to create a list for me and hit me up, and then hopefully you're going to participate in our combine on Wednesday. You know, you want to come and roll around, bring some kids. Again, this is the type of crap that costs you $500 when you go down to Texas, and all it's going to cost you is some gas and fill out the form by 3 o'clock on Wednesday to show up, and I don't care what the kid is like. But, you know, jump in a car with a bunch of your buddies and get there, beg somebody, take the bus. I mean, we pushed it back to the kids.
Like were
always, at, you know, 3:15, you know, they get out of school, you know, maybe later, hop on a bus, you know, take a couple buses, get there by 6:30. And if we know you're coming, you know, and you got my number, it's not like I haven't posted it a million times. Hey, I'm coming. You know, and if you're close by, you know, we'll keep the timers going. And again, we want successes. We had that game on Saturday that got garnered 13 offers at the D1AA. And again, I don't think parents know how to navigate the system. I think they don't know how to talk to coaches, and I think they rely upon their own coaches, or they get bamboozled by these guys that are charging, you know, $1,200 a month or put you on an annual contract or whatever. And so I don't see that happening with you. I think $125 to pay for some insurance and some fields is a bargain. I think I probably spend that going to dinner with my son. So that's probably a bargain for parents that don't know. So what do you say to the guys that are, like, in the four corners? Real remote. They're not getting the hype from the Denver Metro.
We have guys.
Are they able to come?
We have guys. Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, 2 years ago we had 7 kids from Albuquerque, New Mexico, that played on the team, and they drove 7 hours each way to practice because there was nothing like that in Albuquerque. I mean, this year tryouts are on January 5th. I think as of now we have kids registered from 3 different states. You know, from Wyoming, Nebraska, and New Mexico. Because there's nothing, the only close programs in Nebraska that do what we do are in Omaha. So if you live all the way on the western side of Nebraska, it's closer for you to drive here than it is to drive there.
All right, John, you got some questions for John, because I know that you've been around for 44 years. He might be able to throw out a few names, and you might be able to break it down. But I'll flat out tell you, he's accomplished a lot for free. Kind of like you and I over the past few years, back a few decades.
Yeah.
There's some guys, John Mullen.
If it's
Mullen,
free, it's
me. Yeah, if it's free, it's me. John, are there some guys that you think that deserve to go to this January 5th tryout? You know, you broke it down pretty good at the A6, A8, 1A, 2A, 3A. You know, we know about 4A and 5A because most of those teams are in the Denver Metro, and we know about the Western Slope, and I know that there were some damn good ball players from Denver East Saturday, and it's a shame that they hit a buzzsaw in Pine Creek, but that was a pretty damn good squad, half a dozen players on that team. But
We've had kids from the Western Slope
that nobody hears. Yeah.
Yeah, we had Cole
John
Taylor
got any questions?
From the Western Slope. And...
LSU? Where did he end up? John Mullen.
He's at West Virginia. Started up. Yep.
There we go. West Virginia. All right. John Mullen, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, John, it's always great to talk to you and listen to all this important information that all these young kids need. I know there was several kids on the Eastern Plains and obviously in Delta and Rifle who played in the state championship game this year, who played extremely well. But there's a young man from Mancos named Wayman, who was the MVP of the 1A playoffs. He's a multidimensional style athlete and is trying to get some teams to go to, especially in either Nebraska or New Mexico. I know he's been on a couple of the team shortlists in Utah. He's the smallest guy, but he's a heck of a player. I wanted to get your thoughts on a guy like Cale Wayman, who a lot of people in Colorado don't know about, but this is a heck of a football player.
I'm one of those guys, you could put me down, that I've never seen him play. But I'll tell you that we don't discriminate. We have a 1A football player on our team named Chase Real, and this will be his third year in the program. So we don't care if you're 1A, 2A, 3A, 8-man. Like, if you come in, you try it, and you fit the system, and it's perfect for you. And Chase Real started to get a lot of attention, you know, from colleges in this past year. And at his high school, he plays running back and linebacker. And for us, he plays linebacker / tight end. He's just the best athlete at their school. So they'll put him around. They'll mix him all over different places. And we'll try to get you in positions that we think you'll play at the next level. We've had 2,000-yard running backs that come into our program and play corner. And now they're playing corner at the Division I level, you know. But at their high school, they were the best athlete there, so they played running back at their high school. But I mean, if the kid, you've been doing it for 40 years, if you think the kid's good, I don't see why he doesn't, you know, have a shot.
John, I wanted just to ask you very quickly. I'm sure you remember these brothers' names, but they played at a long time. They started out in 8-man, and then they ended up in 11-man. And one of them played for the University of Colorado back in the day. But do you remember Dusty and Rusty Sprague, some great players?
Yeah.
And I know one of the Sprague brothers is now the head coach at the school. But those two were tremendous players during that time. And you just talked about an example that you don't discriminate against these smaller school players who are pretty good athletes. But I wanted to get your thoughts on the Sprague brothers.
Yeah, I remember Dusty Sprague, wide receiver, and I think both of them are really good, if I remember correctly. And was that early 2000s? If I remember right.
I guess it was.
Yeah, because I remember going to their games. You know, one of my good friends was the starting quarterback at Colorado State, so I remember Sprague putting up numbers in the old Rocky Mountain showdowns. But I think there's ton. I mean, you look at Joel Dreesen, small-town guy. Yeah, I mean, you look at Nate Solder, small-town guy, you know, Leadville. You look at all, I think there's talent everywhere, but it's obviously going to be a little bit harder road for them because not as many people are going to see that small town, but I think there's tons of talent everywhere.
I wanted to get your thoughts real quick as well on a young man. You just mentioned Joel Dreesen, the former Fort Morgan and CSU star, but I wanted to get your thoughts on current Arizona Cardinals tight end who's been playing much better, and he came from Fort Morgan, too, during that Fort Morgan dynasty days under Coach Call. But your thoughts on Trey McBride.
Oh, he's a monster. I thought he was the best tight end in college football when he was at CSU. I mean, I don't know what they're putting in the water out there in Fort Morgan, but they've had a couple special ones come out of there.
Well, just don't say Adam City because that's over there by the government zone. You might be blown in the dark right now.
yeah, the Rocky Mountain Arsenal. Yeah, but, I mean, he's got glue on his hands. I mean, he's one of those guys that can block and, you know, he can pancake block you going on a run. Next play, he's running 40 yards down the seam. So I think guys like that are special, and they're one in every 10-year type of guys.
And one more player, John, I just wanted to bring up real quick, and I know you and Gonzo are going to talk a little bit here in a second, but unfortunately he got injured last week and missed Tennessee's game tonight with Miami, but he came from a very, very small high school and placed and ended up with a great career at CSU. Unfortunately, got injured and is out for the season now with the Titans. But he was leading the NFL in punting before this weekend's game. Wanted to get your thoughts on Tennessee punter Ryan Stonehouse, who's turned out to be a terrific player in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was – I mean, I believe he was – when he was at CSU, wasn't he the number one punter in the country? So I think –
either
think
one or two,
punting
yes.
And kicking. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think kicking, no matter where you're at, D1, D2, D3, I mean – kicking is going to translate either way. I think the only thing is if you can deal with the pressure. I mean, obviously a lot more noise, a lot more cameras on you. And if you can deal with the pressure, I think the same success he had at CSU, he's having at Tennessee. So it's no surprise by me.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And, you know, about kickers,
I thank you for.
Yeah. John, thanks again on that one. I was just going to say, he knows a little bit about kickers with J.K. Scott being at Mullen, and everyone thought he was going to go to Alabama as a kicker and ended up being a punter, and we just saw him against the Broncos with the Chargers after spending some time at Green Bay. But, I mean, that guy's kicking, 73-yard field goals on Trailblazer Field
in
Bear Creek right before in high school, right before halftime in his final year. And that was the year that you had those meaningless 10th games. You know, you either made the playoffs or you played a 10th game. But I think the guys at Bear Creek were more interested in seeing if the ball was going to travel, and it came a little short, but, you know, it looked like he was going to hit a 73-yarder. So it's kind of ironic and funny that he's the holder for other kickers, and I just kind of wonder why Alabama didn't do it. But I still remember getting the phone call after the Iron Bowl and the kind of fluke play, in which most people didn't know about, where the ball was returned for a touchdown and Auburn won. And probably the happiest moment that anybody in Auburn's had since Bo Jackson and maybe one of their old-time coaches. So, good stuff, Mr. Marine. January 5th is the one to circle. Are we looking at seventh graders? Are we looking at just high school kids? What are we looking at for that event?
Probably mostly as of right now, we're seventh grade through juniors. So class of 28 through class of 25. Because what junior year is your last year doing sevens, because your senior year, you know, sevens takes place in the spring. So once your senior year is done, you're pretty much considered a college athlete at that point.
So the target is going to be the class of 2025 through 2028?
28, yep.
Okay. Well, as luck would have it, our good fellas at Zybeck are going to take all players through class of 2028. So for your loyal listeners, your followers, what have you, the link has been sent. I'm not begging people to come, but, you know, if you're 7th, 8th, 9th grader and you kind of want to measure up, don't think anybody's going to run a 4.4 or 4.5 or 4.6. We shall see. I know that a lot of people pay a lot of money to get these 40 times, and that's it, but there's other measurables. The good thing is this is going to establish the guy that posts that he's 6'4" and travels all over the country and then doesn't do any of the combines, and then you find out when it's all said and done, the kid was 6'1.5" and lied about it for 4 or 5 years. So you want the real deal. You want the truth. You want it unfiltered at 303 Gonzo. John Marine, thanks for joining us tonight. Best of luck January 5th. Hopefully you can barrel on down to your stomping grounds at Mullen. We're going to be there. We're going to be excited. Unfortunately, I guess the soccer team is going to hit us, or somebody's going to kind of bump us to a later slot, works out. We got basketball going on. We got wrestling going on. You know, who knows what else we got going on. But at the end of the day, there's going to be some lucky people that get some $500 of value of registration fee if they were to go to Texas at the end of the month and pay for this service. Big push, John. Both Johns. I need some canned foods. I need toys for boys and girls. That's your price of admission. It makes me feel good, makes my family feel good. And what better way to do this for free? F-R-E-E, free, and get back to the community. So on that note, John Marine, thanks for coming on. And
thank you, gentlemen.
Talk to you. All righty. Have a good night. Okay, Mr. Mullen. What a nice
well,
C series of guests coming on. So trying to see if one of my college of football coaches can call in, because we had an awesome conversation on Saturday, and he's not a Colorado homer. You know, he's one of those guys that was pleasantly surprised, and he kind of broke it down to what he's looking for. So when I tell people that they need to fill out this form, it's imperative, because if I'm a college coach, I'm not going to be dicking around, you know, trying to figure out this information. But if you're going to supply it to me, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to see some good film, I'm going to see your height and weight and wingspan and, you know, what have you, and you got some good grades, that's going to be the beauty of it. And I hope when he has an opportunity to call in, he's currently at Colorado State Pueblo. So went ahead and sent him the call-in number. He's been visiting some folks with in-home business, which is a big thing. And I get it. It's sexy, John. How would you like to have somebody come into your living room and chat with you and give you the 411? You know, Deion Sanders ain't going to knock on too many kids' doors in Colorado. Who knows if the coach at Fort Collins is. Greeley definitely is going to. You know, a lot of the D2 schools are. We don't have NAIA or Division III. You know, you're going to have to travel to the Midwest. But, you know, those guys pay you money. So I'd love to go back to school and get paid $2,800 a month to play football and chase girls and drink beer. But that's what it is. Out here, Air Force, you got to be a special individual on that one. And, you know, when we're talking bowl season, you know, my calendar's cleared for Saturday, and that's when it starts. So my house is a little bit of a mess right now because I have my interior decorator moving stuff around, and I got memorabilia all over the place, which is all for sale if anyone wants any of it. The Gonzo wants to invest in something other than a nice autographed photo of John Elway or Muhammad Ali or Roger Staubach or Brett Favre. So, yeah, with that all being said, John, trying to get our coach on the line. You know, we got about 8 minutes to the bump. We'd really like to get his 411 on what it takes to be next level, how good you have to be, not be, what the expectations are as a senior in high school, or, you know, are you going to come in and be a four-year starter? Probably not. Are you going to compete as a freshman or a sophomore? You're going to have to wait until you're a junior. And we saw a lot of matriculation over the course of time up in Boulder. We saw some people come and go at Fort Collins. We see this transfer portal that's happening. At the end of the day, all I know is come Wednesday night when we have a bite to eat together, we cover the event, we get the kids tested. You get to see my son again, the big fella. You know, it's grown a little bit up, you know, not only vertically, but horizontally as well. And he's giving me the number one sign, but he's a good guy. And I think right now he could probably run a 5.440, you know, 4 years removed out of high school. No, just messing. But anyway, the kids want me to spend a little time with him. I'm going to reach out to the coach one more time, but any final thoughts on a beautiful Monday night where we had two games? And, oh, I think we got the coach on the line. Let's see here. Hey, Coach. Gonzo here with my partner of 44 years, John Mullen. So I want you to break it down of who you are, what you do, and what is so important that you couldn't call in earlier.
What's going on, guys? How's it going? Sorry, you know, we're right in that moment of recruiting, trying to get in home visits and competing with other universities for these kids and all that good stuff. So it's a fun time, but it's a long time being able to go into households and be able to talk to mom and dad. But I'm Coach Smith. I'm the D-line coach and run game coordinator here at CSU Pueblo. Been there for about 7 years now. Got to come out to the showcase, and I met Gonzo there, and I thought that was pretty cool what they was putting on for the kids out there, especially a lot of those inner-city kids and the kids that are getting overlooked. So I hope that they can be able to keep that showcase going on. So that was pretty cool.
Well, Coach, not only did we have much success with East versus West, we are going to do a North versus South next year. But more importantly, what we broke tonight, which is huge, especially for a guy like you that probably gets inundated with hundreds of emails and how good I am and I missed out being D1 because of this, that, or that, blah, 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 blah. We have Zybeck Sports, the same guys for 14 years doing the NFL Combine, coming to Mullen High School in Denver from 6:30 to 9:30 Wednesday. And everybody that signs up is going to get audited. Proper weight, height, wingspan, 40, all the goodies. And
that's going to be this Wednesday?
Yes, sir, the 13th, lucky number 13.
Wow.
And I know
what
you're going to be hitting me up 6:30 to 9:30. And I have no problem with sharing the data once it comes to me because I'm the proprietary of the data. And I want these kids to go to school. I need them to pay Social Security so I can eventually retire. Coach, what did we talk about Saturday? You came out with maybe little to low expectations, and I'm sure you saw at least a half a dozen. I mean, you tell me how many were on your list when you left at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday.
Well, out of that group, because I recruit pretty much all those schools. There were some schools in there that I don't recruit. I recruit all the DPS schools and all the Aurora schools. And there was about maybe six kids that already had offers from up there. And then got to look at some of the other kids that maybe I didn't get to see when I came there. They wasn't in class, but there was some good talent out there. Definitely a lot of kids out there that was raw and that definitely because you could build your team around and being able to get kids like that to be able to develop them. So, and that's what we have been so successful at doing here at CSUP, being able to go out, find great talent, good character kids, and being able to develop them into being able to be able to guys that can really contribute and help us win ball games and be able to come there and still get opportunities to get their degrees and be better people in this society, being able to develop those guys are great young men.
Coach, I got one for you. I didn't fill out any FAFSA forms. My mom bags groceries. She's a checker at the local supermarket. She's making whatever, $15.50, $18.50 an hour, whatever minimum wage is. I got siblings. Can I afford college, Coach?
You know what? You know, I think, honestly, sometimes you just got to know, you know, who you are, who your parents are, what can you do. But if you really want to go to college, yes, you can. You know, there's always a school. If you seriously want to go to school and get your degree and continue playing football, you can. But it's getting harder and harder, but you got to understand, use your resources at your own high school. There's millions and millions of dollars of scholarships there that all you got to do is go and write an essay. And as you know, your mom or your pops or whatever, we all done had parents that you have parents with money, you have parents with no money, and being able to get those kids in, they got to take advantage of applying for their FAFSA and their Pell Grant and all that stuff, taking out, you know, you're going to have to take out some kind of loan, but if you can go and take advantage and apply for all the scholarships, yeah, but you just got to find the right fit for you. You can't go to a school that's going to cost $50,000, $60,000 a year. No, you got to find the right school, even if it's an NAI school, if it costs $6,000 to go to school there and you're a full Pell kid. Now all your tuition is paid. Yeah, you might have to get a job and have to get some money to live off, but it's doable, you know. So it's all about a fit and you being able to apply yourself to take advantage of all the resources that's out there. There's so many resources out there.
Well, that's beautiful, Coach, because I've been rocking that mantra for 20 years. And people might not listen to me, but being the defensive line coach and run coordinator, I think it's going to be a little bit more healthy for people to hear it, that, hey, there's opportunities. And I'm sure, just like me, I know a lot of people. We network. Maybe it's not the right fit for you, but maybe one of your buddies during the holidays when you have an opportunity and you get together and have a barley soda or what have you, you know, have a break the bread. Hey, you know, this guy was really good when I was on the recruiting cycle, but we just don't need a seventh linebacker or running back or whatever. But, you know, you might kick the tires on this guy. How important is it with this early signing day, you know, that starts December 20th, as opposed to the traditional first Wednesday in February all the way through April? Because I think that's the problem that a lot of these kids have, is because of all the media hype and ESPN network that, oh, I got to do it and get my 15 seconds of fame or minutes or whatever it is.
I some days I like the portal and some days I don't like the portal. And then I just think the way football is, and a lot of schools will want to go ahead and get their guys in, and so even some kids, they want to sign early so they can stop all the, you know, can focus on what they need to do and all that good stuff. But it's kind of getting important, and we're losing some kids that are signing early, and some are not, and some wants to go through the whole recruiting process. And I think that's big time, because I think no matter what, I keep talking about a fit. A lot of kids, you see a lot of kids sign early and go to these schools and don't play and end up jumping in the portal the next semester. And that's just what it is. And so I think just my big thing, I just really tell the kids to find a fit, involve your family, and understand who you are. Like you said, if you're a 5'6" corner or whatever, you got to understand you can't be trying to go to a D1 school. You maybe need to go to NAI Division 3 or somewhere you can play. But, you know, you have to really go look on team's roster, see the mark of what they're trying to do up front. You know, it's just hard. You know, South Carolina had really some small players as a defensive line guy, but the more the game get and complex the offenses get, it's hard for shorter D linemen to be able to take on combo blocks and all that stuff they do now in the gap scheme. So they get ate up, they get gobbled up, and they, you know, and it's just hard for them. So you try to get those guys that can have those longer guys that could get separation and be able to split blocks and all that good stuff. But, you know, it's just, you just got to do your homework and kind of see where you fit and know you as a player, as a coach. You got to put stuff with your academics, your built or how you built, your size and all that stuff. Just find a fit for you and then just go and join and play ball. And enjoy and get your education, you know. So that's how I feel about it. And go ahead.
Well, it's all good stuff because again, I'm doing this for free. I'm doing it as a community service. I'm getting sponsorships. I'm getting people to pay for these kids to get noticed. You know, I'm not the guy thumping my chest and charging people $1,500 a month to say how great they are in their D1, and then disappointment sets in on the 20th of December, whatever day it is, in December, 2021, 22. And then all of a sudden, no problem. Oh, hey, the coaches are on break. You know, we can't get a hold of them. And all of a sudden, you know, there's a big rush to get kids, mid-January for February. And then Obviously, you know, there's some kids that are like, look, you know, I got to make a big decision whether I want to leave my home state. Do I feel comfortable going here, there, wherever? I mean, you know, we've seen challenges all over. You know, people want to play now. But, you know, to have that right fit, ultimately at the end of the day, if some guys need to get their transcripts in to you, maybe the grades aren't where they want to be, you know, there's some other things that fall off your whiteboard, your big board, or what have you. When ultimately do you take the last of the recruits? Is it you're kind of done in February, or are you really kicking the tires all the way up until April?
No. I hope I'll be done in February, but if I don't get a guy or if I get a late guy coming in, but, you know, there's a lot of kids going to still be out there. Like I said, a portal kind of messed up a lot of things, but, you know, I definitely, you know, saying we have been fortunate enough at CSUP. Our team GPA is a 3.1, and I think we're really ranked up higher in the nation for as a football program as an academics, as a team over, I mean, a team overall GPA. But, you know, you might get a guy you want to take a chance on it, but, you know, he's got to have something. He might be not as athletic, but he's got a great GPA average, and he's going to hurt you instead of getting a guy. Be like, oh, man, he's a 2.2, and I don't know what kind of student he was. At least you know that guy, you know, if you know, the guy with the academics going to stay in school and do the right things, and he's going to fight like heck to get himself on there. But with a guy like that, you just got to really know a guy and his situation before you can really go on him, because is he underachiever, or is he overachiever, or, you know, so he just don't apply himself. It's just a lot of things come with that, and you will probably end up wanting to take a guy with a better GPA and that you can continue to try to develop in that atmosphere, you know. So
how many years you been coaching, Coach?
Oh, man, I just gave you my whole story. Professionally, I played 14, and I kind of was done with football. I retired in 2004 from in Canada, so I got I retired up there, and then I was just lost a little bit. I didn't know what to do. I played football all my life ever since I was 4 years old, and I didn't know what to do. And so I was like, man, my kids was getting older, and my daughter was getting ready to go into college. And I was like, man, how in the hell am I going to tell my daughter to go to college? And I don't even have my degree. So the NFL FPA had a plan, and I just called them and ended up going back to school and getting my degree. And ever since after that, you know, I took off about 10 years from playing and kind of figuring out life and what I want to do. And I got back into it, and I started from Pop Warner. I went Pop Warner. I went high school. Then I went to junior college. Then I went to junior college, and I went to Division II, and I've been here. I went to UNLV for my grad assistant. And so I just kind of been all over the place dealing with, you know, coaching the game I love. I feel like I never worked a day in my life. I don't do it for the money or nothing like that, and I just do it for the passion, be able to see these kids continue to chase their dreams and just try to help develop young men, because, you know, our society, man, is messed up. So, you know, not just only just being able to develop these guys for the next 4 years, but the next 40 to 60 years of their life. I want to be able to go to these guys' weddings, see their firstborn, and just see them being great kids and continue to change this crazy world we live in, you know?
100%. I think that's why we get along so well, because we have a parallel attitude. It's about seeing the development of the kids. It's about doing it for the fun. It's about waking up in the morning and say, hey, this is a pretty good gig I got going on. Not, oh, crap. Yeah. I do this damn work thing again. Bills are coming in. Oh, man. I hate life right now.
Everyday life
stuff,
man.
Everyday
life stuff.
My boy John Mullen over there has been covering sports since 1979, 44 years. He's seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And now that we're seeing the transfer portal, you know, it's a little rough on the high school guys. I mean, I got one college that told me they're flat out only taking 6 high school kids, and they're going to roll the dice come January and February, and that's fine. It's a business now. You know, people are making money off their images, and you know, and that's great, because in my day, you know, you were lucky that an alumni might have bought you a beer, and you had to be on the QT because you might get popped for $1.50, you know, whatever. But, okay, you mentioned short defensive linemen.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we got different levels of football. Of course, everybody wants that 6'8" edge guy, whatever. The interior guys. You know, I coached the D-line. I loved it when we went against the big fellas. I didn't like the short guys because that was a lot of work. But when you had the big fellas, it was nice that if you were a little shorter, you could get under pad level and push those guys around. When I was at Mullen High School coaching, I had a 5'6.5" 0-1 tech that would get under pad level. The guy's currently coaching at a smaller school right now, but he had no shot at most places, but he listened and he learned and he knew what to do. And he was maneuvering those 6'2", 6'3" guys at 5'6.5", 5'7" with cleats. So at your school right now, are you looking for defensive line?
Honestly, we don't lose a D lineman. And, especially our interior guys, You know, we try to honestly, because we're a 4-2-5 defense now, and we need to be able to find those guys that are like built like pit bulls. I'm saying six. I try to honestly. I really would like to get the shortest guy I'll probably take, but he's got to be like a big time difference maker, like a dude at 6 foot, a dude like hell on wheels, John Randall type style, and I try to get some guys like you know, I want to get my guys, you know, 6 foot in a way, interior guys, 6 foot to maybe like 6'5", at the even higher. I don't need a 6'8" guy, nothing like that, because he's gonna be too gimpy. But just somebody to be able to move. But
timber.
It's just hard
timber.
Today.
Ooh,
yeah.
We got a redwood.
It's just hard. Yeah, it's just hard because the way offensive schemes are and how they combo and blocking on guys. It's just so hard now. A lot of teams getting 12 and 13 personnel, and if you got a 5'8" D tackle in there, it's no way in hell he's going to be able to defend that or even do that. He's just going to get washed out of there. You know what I'm saying? They're going to take his ass, kick him out the club, you know. And it's really – it's just hard. It's just really, really hard at our level because, you know, if you know – I don't know if you noticed, I've been there 7 years, and I have – I done put seven of our guys – done had opportunities to go. I done put seven guys, gave opportunities to go into the NFL. My two D tackles last year, Momar Falls from Denver East, 6'7", 315. He went to Baltimore Ravens, then he went to Broncos minicamp, and then now he just got drafted again for the XFL. Trey Botts, he went to the Baltimore Ravens, and he's a kid from Parker Lutheran. He was 6'3", 6'4", maybe 305. And that can run a 4.7. You know, those kind of kids, you know, you look at Morgan Fox and all those kids, Deion Sizer, we done had here, you know what I'm saying, and Ryan Jensen, one of the highest paid centers in the NFL, they all came right from us, you know what I'm saying? These are big physical kids, you know what I'm saying? And that's what, when scouts come here and come to our schools, that's what they're looking for, you know. And you got to be able to win games in our society, you know, in this world of football now. You ain't winning games, and you say, oh, I'm going to take a 5'8 guy, and you're getting your face kicked in, your ass going to be fired, you know what I'm saying? So you got to understand how it's just going to turn to a business, and everybody's getting bigger, faster, and stronger, you know? So.
Absolutely, and I knew I liked you for a reason.
You know what I'm saying? You go to Alabama, you don't see that. You're going to see dudes, monsters, and we try to find that same way. We don't recruit. We recruit trying to win. We're trying to recruit guys that we can win in that. We want to be, yeah, we're a Division II school, but at the same time, we can still get those guys and develop those big guys and be able to do that, the guys that they done passed up, or you might get a couple guys in a transfer that are dudes that got one semester left and they know our tradition and understand the multiple guys we done put out to the NFL, and they still, you know, you get a guy, I got a big D tackle that was in, when it was 2020, I think 21, Ike, Big Ike. He came from Texas Southern. He was a grad guy. He had one more semester to play, and he came and played with me for one semester, 3 months. He had already had his degree and everything at Texas Southern. Came and played with me. He's over there at New Orleans Saints now. You know what I'm saying? So just came play 3 months. He know we put out. He needed the opportunity to be able to showcase his talent. And he got the opportunity. He was a big fish in a small pond here, and it helped him out big time.
Awesome. But all right, one comment and one question, Coach. The comment is,
yes, sir.
Trey Botts, on my seventh and eighth grade team, on my two all-star teams, one that went to Wichita, and unfortunately we didn't make the final five. And then on his eighth grade year, we made it all the way down to San Antonio and lost to a Georgia team that ended up having like seven D1 guys on it. Trey Botts is a solid I kind of lost contact with him. Wasn't really coaching, you know, figured, you know, he had a good success path because he listened. In the 20 years of everything, he listened. He might not have been the best player on his team, but he soaked up all the energy that I had to give, and he gave everything he wanted. And it was awesome to hear that he's living his dream and he got to where he is at. Now, you mentioned D2 and winning natties.
Yep.
How much would it mean not only to the state of Colorado, but to CSU Pueblo should Golden and the Ore Diggers win in Texas this week?
You know,
does that help you,
know,
you hurt you?
I know the head coach really well, a really good friend of mine, Coach P. Silverberg. Yeah, I know the D.C., Coach Tripp. They're really good friends of mine, you know what I'm saying? I think for our conference, the RMAC, I think it's pretty awesome that people are going to really recognize our conference. That's a big-time conference. We have won a national championship, and they have an opportunity to go up there and take it all, which I think they can really do it. So, but I think that is big time representing our conference, state of Colorado. And I just think it's awesome to let them know that we can play big time ball here in Colorado as well. Cause I feel like a lot of people look over, you know, a lot of kids don't get recruited here. It's so much good talent here. And yes, there are some guys in Texas and Florida and Arizona and Louisiana and all those kids. But, you know what I'm saying, I think that the thing we got to be able to do is we got to keep developing these kids. We got to get better systems in some of these high schools to be able to help these kids, you know. But there's talent here, and we just got to keep trying to develop these guys. And the same thing, go back to Trey Botts. When I got here, I recruited Trey Botts. You would think, be like, oh, hell no, this kid would never play. But he was such a great dude. He listened. He was a student of the game. Was he the most talented? No, at all. But he worked his butt off every day, in the summer, in the winter workouts, all that. And he developed his skills and became an All-American here and just living his dreams, still chasing it. Great dude, great family. I love his mom and dad, even his grandma. She's an awesome lady. I'm really close with Trey. So he's going to be a great young man, even if it ain't on the football field. He's one of those guys that's going to have a great future in front of him, you know. So his sister's a doctor now.
Yep, that's another one of those guys that my mantra was A's and B's, C, see you later, D, don't think about it, and F, F, and forget about it. And he got the grades done. Obviously, Parkland Lutheran, a good school to go to, got a good base there, so a good family. And you'll always look for that, and I know you do. And so I guess the next question for you is earlier John was telling me about Matoka, who's the quarterback, and I said Matoka better not Choka. So that's my Italian coming out, which I'm not Italian by any means, Hispanic guy. Dad in Texas, born in Texas. I raise him big, as you can see from Saturday. I ain't eating salads. So I got a 6'2-plus kid, pretty good ball player, chose to, you know, do another career. I got a 6'4", 6'4.5 other guy. He's an electrician. So we're looking at that mantra of what you're going to do for the next 50, 60 years. And when you got a free second, you know, Dad will take you out for a steak dinner and we'll chop it up a little bit. Hey, Coach, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Real pleasure meeting you. I'm surprised it took 7 years to meet you. We got a few minutes left. And, John, do you have any questions for Coach? Nice
story
here.
Come on, John, give it to me.
He didn't have the D1 and Silver Spoon and five-star like a lot of these guys do. He had the road to prove himself and a success. So have at it, John.
It's nice to talk to you, Coach, and congratulations to you and everybody involved with what CSU Pueblo has done over the last 7 to 8 years. Tremendous team, tremendous coaching staff, and you've done a great job there. And obviously CSU Pueblo being so hospitable and hosting the state high school football small school championships over the last couple of years. And thank you for answering the question about the RMAC and about the Mayans championship game. The one question I want to ask you tonight, Coach, is obviously the pandemic changed people's lives. It changed your life probably in the way you coach and the way you do things. The one question I wanted to ask you tonight is, now with the pandemic now basically behind us, the NCAA is going to allow one more year of the transfer portal rule where kids can transfer to certain schools. Doesn't matter the division level, 1, 2, or 3, or NAIA. But the one thing I wanted to ask you tonight, Coach, is what does the transfer portal thing mean for you moving forward? And also the NIL thing with these young kids having the opportunity to have their likeness and make some money. I wanted to get your thoughts on the transfer portal and about these future prospects having the opportunity to make money on this NIL deal.
Okay. Well, transfer portal, you know, I think it's, like I said, I think it's good and I think it's bad, because I think it's kind of cool that, you know, you can go and you can find your need. You know, I like it for as like going to get a grad guy, because I'm so big into being able to develop kids. I don't like to, like to get a grad guy, maybe he got a year left, and then I'm not hurting that guy, that sophomore, that freshman, or his development. But it's just crazy out there right now, and some people like it, and it's you know, people look at it differently, but you know, I don't know. I don't know how big a fan I am of it, because I think it hurts the high school kids, and we all been high school kids before, and not being able to get the opportunities you have. But at the same time, you can't blame it on the portal, because a lot of these high school kids, they got, if they serious about their craft and they want to play football, they gotta, you know, they can't just talk about it. They gotta be about it and go train and develop themselves mentally and physically. You know, how you gonna be 155 pounds and you talking about you want to go play college football? You can't do that, dude. So it's just a lot of different things. And or you can just go, like I said, you can go to portal and grab a guy that's done played in 50 plus games and he's got one semester left, and you being able to win some games and keep your job. It's, that's how a lot of these coaches feed their families. You know, a lot of coaches got kids and they got to be able to feed their family. And so, you know what I'm saying, you just got to know which guy to get and which guy not to, and still be able to help develop some kids so you don't have to go into there. We don't get a lot of kids out of there. It basically, like, if we have a need, like, you know, honestly, I would like to get an older D tackle, because I'm so young. You know what I'm saying? We got to play a lot of freshmen last year, and just being able to understand when we got deep in our season, a lot of those young kids was mentally checked out, and just having an older seasoned guy that can go through that and just be able to process all that and continue to play, you know what I'm saying, would be big time. So that's what I'm kind of looking for. And like I said, I'd love to bring a couple more high school kids, but definitely going to look for an older guy in there that can come and help us right now. And then just being able to come in and bring some leadership when you lose Momar, two seniors, Momar and Trey Botts, and then you have no leadership, or you bring a JUCO kid in, and, you know, and he don't know how to lead yet. So it was just kind of, you know, you just got to bring in a guy that can be able to lead these guys and keep everything intact, you know. So, and then what was the other question? The last question about
the
image and likeness, Coach.
NIL, Coach, and the opportunity for these young prospects and football players to make some money in college and help their education out for their career. The NIL has certainly changed the landscape for all college athletics. and especially for college football players and the upcoming seniors that are in high school this year going into college for 2024?
You know what, I you know, for as at our level D2, you know, it's not as big at all. Some guys can get a couple little deals here and there, but I'm talking about like $400, $500, nothing like what the guys at D1, and that's major money. Those guys, and I played in the NFL, and the NFL stands for not for long. And a lot of these guys, and, you know, if I was in the NFL and I was playing at that high level and I didn't know, you know, if I'm going to even get drafted or make it on the team, and I got opportunity to make some money, to pay some bills, to start my life off on a good foot, I would do it. You know what I'm saying? But as far as D2, we don't get a lot of guys there. I think we got a couple guys with some kind of small stuff like clothing and stuff like that. But it's not big in D2 at all. But if you can do it and you can make some money and start your life off right, and, you know what I'm saying, you guys both know, and if you're just a regular person and you don't went to college, you don't got a bunch of loans, you got to pay for that, you got to get a house, you got to get a car when you graduate, you know what I'm saying, and so it's just hard, and I don't blame those kids. You got to do what you got to do, because you go to an NFL team, then you cut, then now what you going to do?
No, 100% agree with you, Coach, and I know you're probably exhausted just like me. I appreciate you. The phone is on 24 hours. I might hit that do not disturb, so I might be able to get 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. I welcome you to come Wednesday, regardless if you make the appearance. If you got other obligations, I understand it. The spreadsheet will be available to you. Again, mm-hmm. This is no cost, no fee. That's what I do. I just want to give back to the community. I want to make sure these kids know that I'm on their side. I might be a little unfiltered, but hey, obviously you've had some
success. I understand. Trust me.
Yeah, my dad's 82 years old, and he's like, "What the hell are you messing around with this football stuff? They don't pay that well." And but he understands the flip side of kids' dreams, opportunities.
Right now. It's just bigger than you.
Yeah. And, you know, like I told the kid that I saw, "What the hell are you doing behind the counter selling Slurpees and cigarettes?" "Well, Coach, thought I had it my freshman year, got injured, didn't take school too serious. Second semester, you know, just wasn't getting it done, got caught on some pills, chose not to do summer school, and here I am." So you got some, you know, and then you got the other success stories where Trey Botts, a success story. You got him a flat-out success story. Good kid, good family. I'm sure you get a ton of kids, and unfortunately, we only had a couple minutes to wrap this bad boy up. We went extended here, which I pleasure, like I said, a pleasure speaking to you. We'll have you on again, and I wish you the best of success, and I'm sure you're looking forward to the day where you can just kind of put the phone aside and enjoy some family time. I know we got the holidays coming up here in a couple weeks. And, you know, family time is definitely important for everyone to recharge the batteries. So once again, Coach, thanks, and I appreciate it. Glad we met, and hope to see you Wednesday. If not, we'll definitely chop it up a little bit more, because I think we got some dudes for you.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate it. Thank you anytime. So appreciate you. Keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you, sir. All righty, that's a good night. Hey, John, we're going to wrap this up. When I texted you earlier, I think we're going to have the best show that we had all season. What are you thinking?
I couldn't agree with you more, and looking forward to Thursday and the event tomorrow night. Get out to Mullen High School.
Wednesday
night. Talked
Wednesday
about
night.
It all night. Wednesday night, yes. Wednesday night, definitely show up for that event. Get educated, get involved, and as Gonzo's mentioned all night, make sure you get those grades up, get that paperwork ready to go, and we'll be able to take care of you at Mullen High School at 6:30 this Wednesday night. Do not miss out on this outstanding event.
Yeah, and originally we had this scheduled to be our traditional set up some tables, you know, do the dog and pony show, shake some hands, whatever. But at the end of the day, we had Zybeck step up, we're going to get the NFL treatment. We're going to get the same stuff that you would pay $500 for at the end of the month in San Antonio. And it's going to be F-R-E, free, free, free. And if it's free, it's me. On that note, whew, what a night, what a show. You know, I know we talk a lot about the CU Buffs and Coach Prime and what he's done. I think with Coach Riston, who came from CU, and what CSU Pueblo has done, and if you look at the rosters, there's a lot of key players from championship teams, and they basically been kind of the cream of the crop from co-preps, you know, Colorado High School for years. It's awesome that we had coaches come in, and they're passionate, and they know what they want to do. And at the end of the day, whether it's Darren Hagan that bounced over to San Diego State or coach that, you know, had a rough road and path to success, it's all about making a few dollars, doing what you love. And I think if you can carry that mantra of fun, 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 that's what you do. All right, John, that's about it for the night. And like I always say, two fingers. Peace out.